Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother Hen. Let's stand on that right there. Let me read this text. Hallelujah. Y'all glad you saved, ain't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible said, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray together. I know you know this passage well, but I want to preach from it this evening as the Lord's given me some thoughts here for our church this evening. Father, we love you and we're thankful tonight for the Word of God. We're thankful for the church of God. We're thankful for the Son of God. We're thankful for His blood that was shed. We're thankful for Calvary. We're thankful for the grace of God. We're thankful tonight for the Spirit of God. We're thankful for our families, for our friends. We're thankful tonight for the peace and the joy of the living God that abides in our soul. Lord, on and on, all night long, we could stand here and give thanks to Your name. Lord, for all that You've done for us, we're mindful of what James said. At every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above, Lord, that we've received it from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. And Lord, everything we have in our life that is good, Lord, we owe it all to You and the grace of God. And Father, I'm thankful tonight that You're so good to us. Help us now these next few moments together. Thank You, Lord, for the good spirit and the good atmosphere that's in the house of God tonight. But Lord, I pray now in the preaching that God, You'd continue to work and move and speak to hearts. I pray for the lost in our midst that they'd be convicted and stirred by, Lord, the compassion, Lord, that's found in these verses of our God toward sinners. And then, Lord, may our church continue, Lord, to grow in the things of God and experience the touch of revival that You've given us in these days. Lord, we need more of it. And God, I pray You continue Your work tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this evening. As we come to this passage of Scripture, we understand. And there's a conversation in verses, beginning in verses we've read tonight. As this certain lawyer stands up, he's going to try to tempt the Lord. That is, he's going to try to catch the Lord in some kind of saying, some kind of trick that he's going to put before him. And he says to Jesus, he says, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And you know that the Lord dealt with that subject over and over in His earthly ministry. And He told men and women everywhere to repent and believe that they may be saved. In fact, these men, it's not that they didn't know what the Lord was going to say. They're just trying to find some way to twist what the Lord had showed up preaching. And so the Lord turns this answer He gives back around into a question and asks the man,
What is written in the law? This lawyer would not be a lawyer like we would know today. This lawyer was a student of the law of God and a student of what the law said. And so basically the Lord says, amen, you're a lawyer. You've studied the law. You know the Word of God. How do you read it when you study it? And this man evidently answered right. The Lord said he answered right when he said that the law said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, this is it. You've answered right. Go and do this. And this lawyer was pricked in his heart in that very simple instruction. No doubt because he knew he had not been fulfilling that amount of the law. And by the way, we understand this today, but just for clarity, the Lord is not teaching you and me work salvation and in keeping the law, even this one command. In fact, I think that the Lord is really in some ways being sarcastic with this man, saying, well, go do it. If that's what it says, then go do it, big boy, and live that and you'll have eternal life. This man could not do it. He was incapable of doing it. He was depraved, my friend, in doing that. And so to justify himself, he said, now, Lord, tell me this. Who is my neighbor? And then the Lord goes into this parable we want to preach from tonight. And we know it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. We're all familiar with it. If you was raised in church, you've heard it taught 1,200 times in Sunday school. If you've been saved many years at all, you've heard 173 messages on the parable of the Good Samaritan. I believe it's the parable of all parables as far as familiarity and as far as the truths that we've gleaned from it in the years of our Christian life. And this evening, as we come to this passage of Scripture, I believe there's two insights that this parable gives, and I want to deal with one of them this evening. The first is the insight of the mercy of goodness. Really, this parable, and it's the context with which the Lord gives it. The man asks, who is my neighbor? And so the Lord gives this parable as a means to give insight upon the mercy of goodness. That is, he's going to define who our neighbor is and how we're to give mercy and goodness to those that come across our way. In fact, when the story is given, the Lord looks at him and he says, now tell me this, Mr. Lawyer Man, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he had shown mercy on him. And so the Lord gets his point across, and the story is an insight of the mercy of goodness. And his brother Charlie, we're to be kind and merciful and gracious to those that we come in contact with in life. You know, the fallen and the down and out and the crowd nobody wants to touch. And Lord is teaching, and that man is your neighbor. I can go into preaching a lot right here, and we don't have time to cover tonight, but can I say in passing, and it's just right to extend mercy and kindness to those that God brings across our paths in life. And that's the first and the primary insight about this parable. But this evening, what we want to do, I want to consider tonight the insight that this parable gives you tonight concerning the message of the gospel. A message of the gospel, as we've studied it and read it for years. I know this evening a lot of what I'm going to say you've done heard 100 times. This evening, bear with me, and we'll try to get where we want to go tonight. As we study this passage of Scripture, this parable makes, by way of application, makes insight into what the gospel really is. As we began to read what the Lord answers and says, he said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. That is, there's a certain man in verse 30 and has turned his back on Jerusalem, the city of God, a presence of God, a dwelling of God, a place that represents the mercy and the grace of God, and he's turned his back on it, and he's running down to Jericho, a cursed place, a place that represents paganism and heathenism. up. And that friend, the Bible said that he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a picture of the path of sin. It's a type of a man away from God, a man that is strayed from God like we all have. And in verse 30 we find the condition of the sinner as he begins, my friend, to live his life and walk down a path away from God, strayed from God. The Bible said, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And so we find the condition of the sinner. This man falling shows the real condition of the lost tonight, in that sin has beat them down, and sin has destroyed their life, and sin has stripped them of everything good, and sin has wounded them to the point where their lives are literally ripped open, and families are busted up, and sin, my friend, and man is had its way to the point that, and it has left the lost and sinners as it were half dead. Is that not a condition, my friend, of where our society is in this hour? Hey man, you ain't got to knock too many doors to fight. Oh my friend, people that are hurting, and people that are wounded, and people that have fallen, and people, my friend, that are literally, hey man, half dead, that is, alive physically, dead spiritually. And my friend, the condition of the sinner tonight, and we read this passage of Scripture, it's an awful insight, and my friend, into where the lost are. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, this is where you're at. Hey man, you're half dead. You're out there laying, just waiting to die. Amen. And after death, the judgment of this man is absolutely hopeless and helpless. He can't help himself. A sin has wrecked and ruined his life. A devil's run off and laughing at him. Amen. These thieves have stripped him of everything. Amen. Pleasant and good. And this man is in an awful condition. Amen. The condition of the sinner. Notice with me tonight, Brother Rob, the compassion of the Savior. I'm not preaching necessarily on this tonight, but can I say this tonight? And my friend, the compassion of the Savior, verse 31 and verse 32, tell you an act about two different men that my friend, by chance, passed by this man. They represent religion. They represent the goody-goody crowd of our day. They represent the crowd that on the outside has everything put together. My friend, as they passed by in life and come upon this man, the priest saw this man in his condition, and this man passed by on the other side. In other words, he didn't want to be bothered touching it. Such a hideous sight. He didn't want the mess on his hands. He didn't want to fool with this individual. And so, like religion does, but Tony, this man went around the other side. The Levite comes back and he looks upon him. He comes and my friend, the Bible said that he came and looked on him. That is, this man had a certain measure of interest and curiosity, my friend, to come and see exactly what the plan of this individual was. He wanted to see how bad a shape that he was in. But after observing and after his curiosity was settled and satisfied, the Bible said this man passed on back. Then Jesus said along, a man came, a Samaritan, a man, somebody that nobody else wanted, a reject in his own right. My friend, the Bible said not that he came by chance. It was not happenstance. I don't know what caused this man to come by this way. I don't know if he heard the man's crash. I don't know, my friend, if maybe he was in an elevated place and seen everything that had happened, and something moved this Samaritan and being aware that this man that had fallen and all his condition needed somebody that would come back and rescue him and salvage him from the great mess his life life had been turned into. And I say to that my friend, it did not happen upon this fallen map, nor did he, like religion did. My friend passed by on the other side, not wanting to be bothered, or nor did he come to him in curiosity. Amen. Thank God the Lord, amen, does not have curiosity for sinners. The Bible said this Samaritan had compassion on him. You see, religion tonight is curious. Religion tonight, my friend, is interested in how bad people's lives are. Can I say tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ represented in this Samaritan, my friend, he has more than curiosity, amen, and how bad the shape men are in. He has a compassion that reaches out and walks to it and helps sinners in their hopeless condition. And I say tonight by way of testimony that I'm thankful that after sin and Satan and the world and my own flesh had stripped me and wounded me and departed, leaving me half dead, and the Son of God was aware of where I was and came to me and compassion. Understand this tonight, and my friend, this Samaritan, my friend, sees the awful plain that the Bible said he had compassion on him. Let me say this tonight, and in compassion this man, this Samaritan cleansed this fallen one. This man in compassion, Samaritan in compassion, he had comforted this fallen one. In compassion, the Samaritan covered this fallen one. The Bible said that he went to him and bound up his wounds. The Bible said, amen, that he carried this fallen one. Amen, he poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. But the Bible said in verse 34, and took care of him. I'm glad for the day, Brother Charlie, we up in that lost, fallen, wounded, a depraved, utterly hopeless condition, and the good heavenly Samaritan came back, amen, and had compassion on me, amen, and saw my need, and thank God he cleansed me, amen, he comforted me, he carried me, and thank God he's taken care of me, amen. Oh, my friend, what religion was not willing to do, and what the Levite was not able to do, and God, the Son of God, in all his mercy and in all his grace, extends heavenly compassion, amen, to sinners that have a need. The Bible said when Jesus gets done with the story, ask the lawyer which one of these do you suppose was the neighbor to this man that had fallen among the thieves? And the lawyer said, why, it's the one that showed mercy to it. And I say to that, I'm glad that we have a heavenly neighbor that my friend gives compassion, amen, to sinners along life's way. Amen, when you can't cleanse yourself, it's compassion can cleanse you, and you can't carry yourself, his compassion carries you. Amen. When you can't take care of yourself, amen, bless his name, his compassion takes care of those that are in need. The message of the gospel, it deals plainly with the condition of the sinner. It deals plainly with tonight the compassion of the Savior. Let me say this about his compassion tonight. I believe tonight that his compassion was genuine. It's not fake, and it's not a facade, Brother Gerald. In fact, the Levite represents somebody that, my friend, looks like he has compassion. Amen. Oh, he hears a cry, or he sees a need, and he comes to where he is, Brother Dean, and he just kind of stands over him and goes, yeah, he's in bad shape. That's like this world and religion does. Our friend, they come to his bed and they look over and say, yep, that's pretty bad. My friend, it's a fake compassion. It's a compassion that, my friend, it maybe looks like compassion on the outside. You remember years ago, they come out and used to be, in the old days, all you had for sunscreen was that lotion stuff. You'd have to rub it on and it'd be all oily all over your hands. And then several years ago, they come out with the spray stuff. Do y'all remember the first stuff that come out? They called it Spray On Compassion was the brand name of it. Amen. And they said you just spray it here and you spray it there. And that's about how religion is, my friend. Amen. They just spray a little bit on here and a little bit on there. My friend, the compassion of the Samaritan in his passage, it wasn't something he had to spray on. It wasn't something he put on and he put off. It was something that flowed in his veins. It was something on the inside of him. Moved him, have friend, to reach out and to help people in need. And I say tonight, you may not feel like anybody loves you and cares for you. Can I remind you, there is a God on, amen, a Savior on the right hand of God tonight. Amen, friend, genuinely loves you. Amen, it's not something he puts on and puts off. It's not something that passes away. Amen, thank God. One of my favorite verses, it's John 13:1. Our Lord's coming down to the end of his ministry, and it's speaking of his disciples. And it said, knowing that his time had come, he loved them to the end. And I say that's the only way he knows how to love. Amen. It's a genuine love. And he loves sinners to the very end. It's a genuine love, a genuine compassion. Let me say this. It's a gracious compassion. His compassion moved him, our friend, to try to help this man in need. I mean, the situation looks hopeless. Everybody else in his past bad said he's too far gone. The Samaritan, my friend, in grace said, amen, he can't help himself, and nobody else is interested in it. If he has any hope, if there's going to be any rescue, if there's going to be any salvation for this man's life, and I'm going to have to graciously get involved. And I say, thank God, it is a genuine and gracious compassion. Can I say tonight, it was gentle compassion. Amen. He didn't tell this old boy to get up and to do better. He didn't tell him, quit your whining and your griping and your belly aching. Oh no, he came to him, and the Bible said, amen, listen, he didn't treat him harshly. Oh boy, should have never left Jerusalem. He should have never been on such a dangerous road. This man never had a rebuke for it. He seen him where he was. Oh boy, already knew. Oh, Brother Tony already knew he'd done messed up. He already knew he'd made a mess out of things. He already knew it was his own fault. My friend, the Savior, a man in the Samaritan comes and gets down. I see him. Amen. I see him. Come here, Jesse. Amen. You're going to be the old fallen man. I'm going to beat on you, all right? Amen. And they've left him half dead. Amen. And here he is all bloodied up and wounded and down. And what's the Samaritan do? I said, I ain't going to hurt you, I promise. All right, he's trembling up here, mama. Amen. He comes to him. I see he kind of picks his head up. Amen. He reaches over there. Maybe he's got his water bottle. Amen. And he puts a little water in his mouth. Amen. Quenches his parched lips. And the Bible said he began to cover up his nakedness. He sees all these wounds and he lays him back. And he's pouring oil and wet and massaging this man. Trying to tend to every need that he has. Amen. The old boy can't even get up. He can't walk on his own. And so he gets him and he sets him. The Bible said, you get to be the beast. All right. And he sets him on his own beast. Amen. Yes, ma'am, wasn't expecting to do better. He wasn't expecting to get up on his own. This man is half dead. Amen. He can't work his way up. Thank God, the gentle Samaritan. Amen. Reach further down, and the boy can reach up and gently raised him up in salvation. It's a genuine and gracious and gentle compassion that he has. Here's what I want to preach on tonight. We can shout on all that. Thank you, son. Good job.
You make a good beat-up man. Notice what the Bible said. After the Samaritan who we're applying tonight the truth of the Lord Jesus and how, Brother A.L., how that he delivers sinners from their awful situation. The Bible said that when he put him on his beast, the Bible said he took him or brought him, verse 34, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And this evening, I'm interested in the inn. This Samaritan, he's delivered him. He's rescued him. This man, for application, our message tonight, he's a saved man. He's been saved from that awful condition he was found in. And the Samaritan takes him down and puts him in an inn. We're going to look at that tonight in this message of the gospel. Not only we see the condition of Savior and compassion of the Savior, but notice with me the care of the sanctuary. The Samaritan is found and rescued the fallen, but he brings him to an inn for continued care in his stead. He's rescued him and delivered him and saved him, but the further care for this man that is fallen is going to be entrusted to the inn and the innkeeper. Now this inn, it's not just a motel. In fact, in my studies, most men believe that this inn, it was something, amen, between a motel and a sort of a hospital that men would be taken to recover over some situation that had befallen them. And they would find recovery or rehab in this place called the inn. And so I want to look at it tonight. I believe after God saves a man and God saves a woman out of their awful condition, and he cleanses them and comforts them and carries them and cares for them and covers them. I mean, he does all these things in the moment of salvation when he finds sinners. But we want to look at this tonight. And after he saves a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, he puts them in a church for the church to care for them in his stead. And I will say tonight, I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful tonight, Brother Rob, for Jesus. And I appreciate the good testimonies tonight that have bragged on him that he is worthy to be praised. But can I say tonight that we ought to be thankful for spiritual need that God has given us in this life and in this world. Amen. This old boy, when he's brought to the end, amen, I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but he still has issues. He still bears in his body, amen, marks from the fall that he had. Amen. He still, Matthew, has a memory of all that took place. Amen. Between Jerusalem and Jericho. And Matthew, the Samaritan says to the inn and the innkeeper, I'm going away and I'm coming again. And between now and then, it's going to be your job to take care of this one I brought to you. I'm telling you tonight, that friend, the church is a place, that friend, for people that have issues. The church ought to be a place that the Lord can take that crown that he saves and delivers, amen, and rescues and finds, amen, and he ought to be able, amen, in the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, have a church that he can entrust, amen, with the care of men and women and families that don't have it all together. This man, he don't know up from down. In fact, best I can tell, our friend, listen, he's going to make it, but on the outside, it still don't look real good. Look on up in here, this man has fallen. You know, I'm thankful tonight
amen, for the church. And if we're not careful, we'll get the place. Amen. We begin to think that church is for that crowd that's got it all together. And that church is for, friend, the crowd that, my friend, is religious. A crowd that's got everything, I mean, just polished up and put together. My friend, when the Samaritan brought this fallen one into the inn, he still, friend, had issues. Listen, a church is a place for people that have issues. I kind of get somewhere between humored and flat out ticked off some days with the attitude that some churches have. I don't know if it's something to be mad about or to laugh about, but it seems like churches in our day, amen, the mentality is our four and no more. And if they're not like us, they're not welcome here. And they forget that they ain't always been like they are tonight. Are you listening? You ain't always been in church on a Wednesday night. Amen. You ain't always sung in the choir. You ain't always had a dress on mouth. Hey, sir, you ain't always been in your right mind. You ain't always been sober. Amen. There's a day, and the Samaritan came along and found you and saved you and delivered you. Amen. But thank God he put you in a spiritual land. Amen. Where, amen, you've learned to grow and you've healed. Amen. And you have nailed down some things, but you still ain't got it all nailed down. You still ain't got it all together. You may be in better shape than you were, amen, the day that he found you, and you ought to be. Amen. Listen, it ain't the will of God, amen, you get saved, be in church 20 years, and still be bearing the same wounds, and still be, my friend, in the same shape. Amen. When he finds you and gives you to the end, it's the church's job and the preacher's job. Amen. Listen, the Bible said at the local church and the ministry of your pastor, my friend, is to perfect the saints or the work in the ministry and for the edifying the body of Christ. And I say tonight, you ought not be tonight where you were when God saved you 20 years ago. But you still got issues. Just because you got them good and dressed up tonight and we don't see them like we used to, don't mean you still ain't got them. Notice this with me. What is the end? What was the one this Samaritan brought to this end? Who's the church really for? Let me put it that way. Who's the church really for? Notice we've met that, as we've already preached down through here, but according to verse number 30, amen, listen, the Samaritan brought this man to the end, and church is for those who have fallen. Church is for those who have been stripped. Church is for those who have been wounded. Church is for those who have been stranded. Church is for those who have been rejected. Church is for those who have been left for dead. Church is for those who have been ignored. Church is for those who have been overlooked. Amen. Those that you wouldn't even think about going after. And I say tonight, that's the crowd. And that, my friend, the Samaritan, that's the man that the Samaritan took to the end. And that's the crowd that Jesus is interested in entrusting his church with. Fallen, stranded, stripped, wounded, beat down, left for dead, overlooked, rejected, and stranded in life. The lowest of the low. It's all of us. If you ain't careful, you'll forget where you was. And you'll get a worthy mentality. Well, I'm worthy to be here, and everybody ought to feel blessed that I'm a part of this church. And I tell you tonight, amen, the best of us tonight is still a zero. Amen, with the middle kicked out of it. Amen, a bunch of sinners that deserve hell tonight. Were it not for the grace and compassion of God, amen, I'm telling you, thank God there is a place in this life for the down and out and the crowd that nobody in the world wants to touch. Had it not been for him, you wouldn't be here tonight. And had it not been for the ministry of a church, your life would not be where it is this evening. Thank God tonight for the church and the living God. I want to preach on this thought for a minute, and I know I'm getting a little lengthy. I promise it won't be too much longer. Amen. But here's my thought tonight. Amen. The man is brought to the end. Amen. He was in far better shape having been found by the Samaritan, but he still needed a place to comfort and care for the issues he still had. He needs a place that is going to invest themselves in him. He needs somebody that, friend, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but he needs somebody that's going to look beyond some of his issues. Look beyond some of the wounds that he has. Look beyond some of the problems that he has. And say, you know what? We ain't afraid to change some bandages. We ain't afraid to get our hands dirty. And we ain't afraid. We're not afraid to be, amen. We're not afraid to touch somebody who's got a need. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Amen. I'm going to try to do it in about 10 more minutes, but it might be 4 more hours. I want to preach on this thought on Comfort Inn Baptist Church. This boy needed somebody that would take him just like he was and comfort him and care for him. And my friend, get involved in his life the same way the Samaritan did. And thank God, I'm glad we got a church that's like that and still growing in that. And we're not where we really need to be tonight, but we're on the way. Amen. I want a church, not a Pharisee church, not a nose in the air church. Amen. We don't need a Pharisee in Baptist church. Amen. We don't need a conceited in Baptist church. We do need to be a comfort in. Amen. A place that God and bring men and women in with all their issues and minister to them in the way that God would have us to. Comfort Inn Baptist Church. What ought we to find? What will we find in Comfort Inn Baptist Church? Number one, notice this with me. I believe that as this Samaritan brings him in, he pulls him up on a beast. And the Bible said he brought him to an inn, verse number 34, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them the host and said unto him, take care of him. I want to say, number one, in Comfort Inn Baptist Church, in this text, we find an acceptance that is passionate. Can you imagine the scene? Brother A.L., here comes a Samaritan with a beast, and there's a beaten down, bloodied up Gentile dog on his beast. And this old innkeeper comes out and says, can I help you? He says, yes, sir. I just found this man and I rescued him. He fell among thieves. I found him. He's in bad shape. And the innkeeper maybe looks at him and said, man, he looks awful. And the Samaritan said, well, you should have seen him before I got to him. You think he looks bad now? You should have seen what he looked like a few minutes ago. And the old innkeeper says, well, what are you going to do with him? And the Samaritan said, well, I was going to put him up here for a little while and take care of him for the night. And I just want him to be able to stay here and rest a little while and take care of these needs that he's got. They'll notice with me, oftentimes we learn as much from what the Bible don't say as we do about what it does say. I like this innkeeper. He didn't say, oh no, you ain't bringing that mess in my motel. You ain't bringing something like that up in my clean atmosphere up in here. You ain't bringing him in here in the shape he's in on my nice beds. You ain't using my linens. Everybody okay? You ain't going to bring him in the mess. Look how bloodied up and wounded. He ain't got nothing to offer us in this end. Oh no. Evidently the Samaritan and the innkeeper and the inn, my friend, worked together in the inn. My friend, in Comfort Inn Baptist Church, in this parable, Amen. There is an acceptance that is passionate. I see an innkeeper that evidently, amen, was excited and is compassionate and passionate about helping somebody that had fallen, as the Samaritan was. He was more interested in a man who had a need, and he was his own badge and his own reputation and his own atmosphere. And I say that's what you'll find in Comfort Inn Baptist Church. We get the place, we don't want that snotty-nosed trailer trash. And I say, if we don't want the snotty-nosed trailer trash, and we don't want the Samaritan passing by, because that's who he's interested in. He's interested, my friend, in the pill head and in the dope smoker. And my friend, the drunkard and the harlot. He's interested in the crowd at his beat down. He's interested in the family on the brink of divorce. He's interested tonight, my friend, in the crowd that is hurting. Too many churches, they're worried about their walls and their pews and their bathrooms. Can I say, God forbid we ever get the place we're more worried about carpet and pews and walls and bathrooms than we are the souls of men. Amen. There's some churches, they're afraid. They're afraid to have people in their church like some of y'all were, amen, before you got saved and just after you got saved, because it's going to ruin their reputation. Well, we can't let people like that in. What will the community think? Who gives a flying flip what the community thinks? I'm more interested in what a Samaritan thinks. I'm more interested in reaching that crowd that still has a need. An acceptance that is passionate. And you imagine walking up with Comfort Inn's right up the road here tonight. And you imagine needing a room, needing some rest. You're tired and you're worn out. You've just lost your hope. And my friend, you come staggering in. Your hair's all disheveled. And my friend, listen, your shirt's untucked. Amen. And you walk in and the tenant behind the desk says, "What do you want?" You begin to give your story about how bad your day's been. Your house burnt down and you lost your dog, and you done doing all you can to get somewhere to lay down and find some help. And they say, "Well, we don't like your kind around here." That's how a lot of churches are, Brother Rob, tonight. Amen. There must be in Comfort Inn Baptist Church an acceptance, my friend, that is passionate. Amen. Can I draw a parallel tonight? And I know, amen, I promise it's going to be the longest point of the message. Please don't check out on that. Brother Charlie, you remember in Luke chapter number 2, we read about another end. And in Luke chapter number 2, the Son of God is getting ready to be born. And Mary and Joseph pull up in Bethlehem to an end, and the Bible said there was no room for him. They said, "We ain't got room for you tonight." I mean, here's a family that's getting ready to have a baby. And my friend, and we know the significance of it tonight, and we know it was all in the will of God. But on a practical level, that inn and that innkeeper said, "We don't have room for you around here. What we'll do, we'll stick you out here in the stables." That's how a lot of churches are. If you don't have money, and you don't have popularity, and you don't have fame, amen, they say, "Well, we ain't got room for you around here." Not the inn in Luke 10. The inn in Luke 10 said, "Bring him on and go out there and find another and bring him in. And go find another family and bring them in. And we'll work with you, Samaritan, in trying to help this crowd that has a need." An acceptance that is passionate. Everybody getting it? I mean, when they come in and they don't look, I mean, they look like they fell through a the lower section of Bass Pro, and just, I mean, stuff's pierced all up in them. Look like they got tattoos all over and up and down their arms. When they walk in, they don't really know how to dress. When they walk in breeches and the top's just a little lower than it ought to be, and the skirt's a little higher than it ought to be, having an acceptance that reaches out and says, "Hey, I remember when I didn't know how to do it all. I remember when I was wounded and he found me, and it took me a little time to get it all together."
And acceptance at his passion. Let me say this tonight, Brother William, acceptance is not approval. I'm not preaching approval tonight. I'm not talking about overlooking sin. We're not talking about as a church, my friend, just, amen, bringing people in the shape they are and leave them as they are. That's the mentality of the modern liberal church of our day. It says, come as you are, and then they send you out as you are. Are you listening to that? Amen. We believe in come as you are. Amen. Come as you are. Come exactly as you are. Amen. And sit down. Let the Word of God be declared, and let some attention be given to the issues you have in life, and let the Holy Ghost work in you and change your life a little at a time so you may be different down the road than you were when you got saved. It's good to see Charlene in church tonight. She don't know what some of you know. She, amen, she's going to need a church and to reach out and accept her for who she is. And my friend, she'll keep coming back, and we'll keep pouring in a little wine and a little oil here and a little wine there and bandage this and bandage that. And then one day she'll have it down maybe better than you do. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm talking about an acceptance that is passionate. That innkeeper wasn't afraid to harm his reputation. He wasn't afraid to, amen, mess something up around the inn for the sake of accepting somebody exactly how they were. An acceptance that is passionate. Number two, I believe at Comfort Inn Baptist Church you ought to find, and you will find in Luke chapter number 10, an atmosphere that is positive. You ever gone to a motel, Brother Gerald, and you walk in and they just is a bad feeling in there? The attendant behind the counter says, what do you want? You say, well, I got a reservation, check in tonight. And you can just tell they begin to talk about how bad they hate their job, how rough their day's been. Come on now. How bad their husband is, their wife is, how messed up their youngins are. And then they say, well, I'll put you down in this room, but the doorknob don't work. And I wouldn't even bother sleeping in that bed, old rusted, old squeaky thing. Amen. And the toilet up there, it don't work. All they are is just negative about everything. You know what I want to do when I walk in a place like that? Run on down the road somewhere else. There's a lot of people leaving a lot of churches because of a negative atmosphere that, my friend, helps nobody. Right. You might as well look on up in here. Church ain't... Listen, the world's negative enough. And I'm not talking about not having negative preaching, but I'm talking about an atmosphere that, my friend, promotes the Lord and promotes the ministry of the Lord in the church. It's to be, my friend, an atmosphere that is positive. What a difference, what a contrast it is. You walk in a motel and they're waiting on you. You walk in and the lady smiling says, can I help you? And you say, I'm Mr. Hinn. I've got, oh yeah, we've been waiting on you. I've done been working on your reservation. I've got everything in line. And they begin to roll it out and they say, do you want any cookies? We baked cookies for you. Ma'am, we're glad you're here. Is there anything that you need? Before you go to your room, do you need a roll? Hey, ma'am, many youngins as you got, we got. You need that roll-away bed. Ain't it nice when they ask you before you go to your room, they say, can I get you a roll-in bed? Is there anything you need? And if you get to your room and you get in there, if it ain't just right, just call us down here and let us know. We stayed down here at the Comfort Inn and our first time down there, and we checked in and we went up the room and we walked in the room and was getting everything, and the phone rang. And it was the lady at the front desk just calling to check on us, says, everything okay? You know what that is? That's a positive atmosphere. That makes you want to go back. That you get in that kind of atmosphere, I mean, you can't wait. When I get to go back down, you're looking for a reason to get back down there.
You walk in and, my friend, all the maids got sour faces and they're stomping around and slamming doors. And my friend, always a fussing and a fighting and a choking each other. Amen. It creates an atmosphere. And friend, you don't want to go back. Amen. This sin, if you go heal somebody, you can't heal somebody with a negative atmosphere. You get wounded and you go to hospital. You don't want some doctor always walking in negative, negative, negative. Lord, don't quit telling me bad news. Give me some good news. I mean, tell me what's wrong with me, but tell me how you're going to help me. Amen. Listen, church ain't a place to beat on each other. In fact, there ain't nobody in these pews ought to be beating on somebody else across the aisle. Amen. You got a pastor that'll beat on you when I'm preaching, and then we'll hug your neck when we're done. Am I right? Amen. We'll preach the devil out of you and your youngins and your mother-in-law and mine. Amen. But a church ought to be an atmosphere where you come in and the choir don't look like they've been chewing on Saul bars when they got up there, and they're singing with the joy of the Lord and a smile on their face and a hand uplifted. And they walk in, they see the crowd out here listening, the choir excited and raising their hands and on their feet and rejoicing. Hey, that's an atmosphere that is positive. Amen. I'll be honest. Now, don't y'all get mad at me. Let me beat on you a minute. It's pretty depressing singing in that choir to y'all that ain't up there. I love you now, but dear God, at least some of y'all could do, smile. Come on, choir members, give me a hallelujah right there. You'd be amazed what it'd do to that choir and how my friend, how to charge them and how to stir, my friend, other sinners and other families that come in. Amen. When the choir's excited and the pew's excited. Amen. What am I talking about? I'm talking about an atmosphere that's positive. Brother Gerald, that choir needs you to go, woo! Amen. But Chris, I need you to get on your feet and go, woo! You say, oh, you talk about faking it. I'm not talking about faking it. Brother Will, we singing about Him.
Yes, sir.
We singing about the grace of God.
Yes.
We're singing about, my friend, listen, that if you can't get positive over that, ain't something wrong with you. An atmosphere that's positive. Comfort in Baptist Church. Amen. Let me say this. Not only an acceptance that is passionate and an atmosphere that's positive. I know I got to quit. Lord, have mercy. Y'all preaching me to death tonight. Notice there ought to be an assistance that is personal. Notice what the Samaritan said. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. You take care of him. I'm leaving. I'm going to be gone, and now it's your responsibility to personally invest yourself in the care of this man that's been beaten down. An assistant said it's personal. He didn't say, now you go find you somebody to pawn it off on. He said, you do it. And by the way, the church is in the spiritual business, not the carnal business. Most churches, nothing more than a social club. What most people are looking to get out of a church, they can get out of any old club in the community. We're a spiritual club. Amen. We're involved in spiritual things. And we ought to be personally invested in one another. He said, take care of him. That means that literally means to be interested in one. He said, you take care of him. Be interested in his needs. In fact, the same word care for that he said, Brother Charlie, the same word take care used of the innkeeper, the command, responsibility given the innkeeper, is the same word took care that spoke of the Samaritan. In other words, I'm entrusting that you are going to care for this man just like I care for this man. Your job is to assist him just like I would assist him. Amen. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Our job's to love sinners and assist them and assist people that God saves the same way God would. It ain't Gerald's responsibility alone. Some people say, I'll let the preacher do that. Oh no, it's our job. We're the church. There's to be an assistance that is personal. Personal involvement in the work of God. Amen. You say, I'll get involved. You give me a title. Well, we don't want you involved then. Amen. This crowd, they got to have a title. They're always looking out for a position. We're not looking for nothing. Amen. All the positions are filled around here. Let me get up here and say that again. We ain't got but one position called pastor, and it's already filled. There ain't no more positions. There ain't no more positions. If you can't be a servant, we ain't even interested in putting you in something that looks like a position. Whoa! Amen. If you too good, reach down, pick trash up off the floor, clean the toilet. Amen. Or get your hands dirty. Amen. We're talking about a crowd that is interested just to get involved personally, however God wants him to be. Well, enough right there. Amen. Notice there's to be an assurance that is promised. What did he say? The Samaritan said, look, I'm going to give you these 2 pence, 2 Roman pennies, about 35 cents. I'm going to give these to you. You take care of him. And I understand it may cost more than what I've even give you. But you just keep on investing yourself and give of yourself. Because I'm coming back. He said, I'm coming back. I ain't going to give you this and leave you high and dry. Ain't that a comfort in the house of God? Listen, we've got to deal with issues of our day. We've got exposed sin of our day. We've got to deal with the issues that are in people's lives. And at the end of the day, the church is to be looking forward to the coming of the Lord and reminding people that come by our way that, my friend, He has saved us and He has rescued us. But, amen, thank God there's a day that He's coming again. And the one that found us in the mess we was in and brought us up and led us thus far, He is coming again. And the one that, my friend, we trust by faith, amen, one of these days soon, face to face, we're going to see Him. What did Paul say to the church at Thessalonica? He said, comfort one another with these words. That old boy that had fallen, I don't even know if he was really aware of all the Samaritan and what all he done, but I imagine that innkeeper kept him filled in. The longer he's around the inn, maybe he starts asking questions like, how did I get here? And the innkeeper said, well, you remember you fell among... He said, oh yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember much. I mean, I'm looking around at... I've had all these wounds and they're starting to heal and I'm feeling better. How did I get here? And he said, well, there's an old Samaritan brought you up in on a beast one day and dropped you off and told us to take care of you. He gets telling him about his name and telling him about all that he is. And hey, he left some provisions back here to take care of you. That old boy who had fallen, he's now starting to stand on his own. He's getting stronger. But he don't want to leave then because he knows the Samaritan's coming back. Old innkeeper said, you're going to get to meet him face to face one day. Can I say, my friend, thank God for the ministry of the church in comforting and caring for our lives and our families. Brother Rob, one of these days, the Lord's coming back. And He's coming back for the church, the spiritual end. Thank God, what a joyous day, Brother Chris, that's going to be. To see the heavenly Samaritan return. And what did he say? He said, hey, you just keep on doing what you're doing, taking care of this man wounded. When I come again, I'll repay you.
Sometimes we think we're just wasting our time. And I say we ain't wasting our time. We didn't waste our time last night going out in the community. We didn't waste our time, amen, last Saturday when we went out. We ain't wasting our time tonight. We won't waste our time, my friend, on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. We're doing what God told us to do and to be. My friend, He said, when I come again, I got a reward coming for you. If you just do what I've entrusted you to do. Amen. Come on, Sister Candy, if you will. I'm not interested tonight, church, in a hour four and no more mentality. I'm not interested in that. In fact, there's a lot more here tonight than there was back last September when I first started coming up preaching on Wednesday nights. And it's about you. This church reaching you and your family, and it's about you being a part of this church reaching other families. I don't like growth. I don't like change. Well, you're just going to have to get over it. Amen. So there's just things happening. I ain't heard none of this. It's just preventative statements. Because we're hitting about that time when people in transition go getting nervous and go saying things they shouldn't say. So I'm just going to nip it before I even hear about it. Start saying, well, I just don't like this and I don't like that, and I just ain't used to it being this way. Here's what you do. You go home tonight and you get you an aspirin and you choke that thing down and it'll all be okay. Amen. And I'll be honest, I promise you, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm still trying to preach here, and in a minute I'll be done and I'll hug your neck. But we really don't care what you think. Amen. Might as well get it all out now. So I just don't think this, I don't think that. Now listen, I got an open door and you can come talk to me about anything. But at the end of the day, what matters is what's He think. And the way He's been moving seems to me like He thinks pretty good of us. Amen. Comfort Him, Baptist Church. It's about Him giving us a responsibility to reach others. How you doing on that? How you doing on that? You say, oh, preacher, I'm a struggling. Well, there's an altar down here tonight. You can get right. Here's what we're going to do. Sister Candy's going to begin to play. I want us to all stand. It's prayer meeting night. I don't want you moving just yet. Just bear with me just a second. We're going to give invitations. She's going to play while we pray tonight. We're going to come forward together as a church and pray for one another and personally get invested in one another's needs. I don't know if y'all seen Brother Wade got to make it tonight. And we're so glad he's here. He said he's feeling good tonight, and I'm glad. But we need to pray for him. Brother Tony's here. We're praying for him. Brother Joe's here tonight. He's got heart catheterization. Tomorrow afternoon, he's got to be over in Turkey Creek. We're going to be praying for him. He's got to be there about 2 o'clock and surgery about 4. So we need to pray for him. Christine mentioned her brother Eddie, thanking the Lord that He's touched him for a short time anyway, and we thank the Lord for it, but he still needs our prayers. Brother Wayne Ogle, let's not forget to pray for him. He needs our prayers. Brother Joe Bryant, Brother David Epps, Doc Wells, need our prayers. Our church needs our prayers. Brother Jerry's eyes, we're praying for that, for him. How many tonight, let's do it this way, just by uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor, there's a special burden on my heart tonight. I just want to acknowledge that, by uplifted hand, there's a special burden on my heart. Need the Lord to touch. How many believe this? God knows what it is. God knows what it is. One of the greatest promises on prayer is this, Brother Jordan, He knows what we have need of before we even ask. And so tonight we're going to lay that down and we're praying for you. Is there anybody you got a real urgent thing that we need to pray about tonight? You want to make mention? You're going to have to speak up real loud, Tyler. Oh, man. Amen. Believe the Lord to do it.
Yeah.
I believe the Lord to do it. Let's pray for Tyler about that. If you've ever been there and you needed a job, you know exactly what he's feeling right now. Anybody else? Dolores? Amen, Dolores. Amen. We're going to pray for that. Brother Jordan, Miss Hannah's got their house up for sale. Went up on Saturday. He's praying it'll sell in 2 months. Y'all believe the Lord could do that? I believe the Lord could do it. And so we need to make that a matter of prayer too. Anybody else? Betty? Let's pray for Dan tonight. He needs our prayers. Betty needs our prayers. A lot of y'all are aware of what she deals with there, but if you don't, she needs the Lord's help. All right? Anybody else? Sister Lori? All right? Let's help Lori pray for that. All right? Let's do this. Everybody gather on the altar if you're able to kneel. If you're not, come down, pray with us down front. We're going to call on the Lord tonight. Hallelujah.